Good morning, everyone. Are you hearing me? Lovely. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God, because today, as we come together on virtual church, I can see all my brothers and sisters and family members here with me. The psalmist says, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." We are glad to meet again on another sunny Sabbath day. So whether you're at Bedrock Cathedral or Sofa Chapel or Conservatory Temple, welcome, welcome, welcome. Special welcome to those celebrating birthdays today. You get double blessings. Special welcome to our first timers. We are super happy that you made it here today. To our international family, welcome and thank you for waking up extra early so that you could fellowship with us. Today, as we celebrate the second Sabbath in the 6th month of 2020, may I remind you that God says you are special. God has plans for you. God says he is your God and that he will strengthen you. God says he will cause you to ride on the high places of the earth. God says you belong to him. So, welcome, family. Welcome. I'm delighted to see you. But more than that, God is very pleased that you're here today. Welcome. 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 Let us pray. Our God and our Father, we are so grateful that you love us and that you've taken such a great interest in our lives. We thank you, dear Lord, that on this very special day you have allowed the sun to shine, and we are grateful for the sun that is in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that we have been able to come to see a new Sabbath, a new day for fellowship and for hearing your words. So, Lord, we present ourselves to you today. We ask you to open our eyes and our ears and our minds and our hearts so that we'll receive the blessing that you have in store for us. We thank you for those who are recuperating. We thank you for those who are celebrating birthdays. Lord, we thank you for all the wonderful things that you continue to do for us, even at this very hard time. But Lord, we know that with you, we can handle any situation because you are not leaving us alone. You have not forsaken us. You are still with us. Lord, we thank you that your love continues to flow over us. We ask that you'll be with those who are in mourning. We ask that you'll comfort those who are sad. And we ask you, Lord, that even though the times are dark, that you'll give us a smile and a song in our hearts so that we can praise you. Father, we thank you that we are alive. We thank you that you have given us a second chance. And we ask you, Lord, to help us to make the best of it. So on this wonderful Sabbath day, Lord, we thank you. And we ask you to help us to receive all the wonderful things in store. Please continue to be with us, be with those who are on and those who have not been able to make it. We ask you to help them to still be in the mind of worship and reflection and fellowship. Be with us now, we pray, in your holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Sharon? On mute.
Good morning, everyone. The scripture reading this morning is taken from St. John 14 and verse 27. And I read, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the Lord gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Thank you, Sharon. Keisha, you're muted.
Happy Sabbath, everyone.
Happy Sabbath.
Don't listen to my voice, listen to the words. There will be mountains that I would have to climb, and there will be battles that I would have to fight, but victory or defeat is up to me to decide. But how can I expect to win if I never try? I just can't give up now. Come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me the road would be easy, and I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. Never said there wouldn't be trials, never said I wouldn't fall, never said that everything would go the way I wanted to go. But when my back is against the wall and I feel my hope is gone, I just lift my head up to the sky and said, help me to be strong. Oh, I just can't give up now. Come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me the road would be easy, and I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. No, you need to bring me out here, leave me lonely, even when I can't see clearly. I know that you are with me, so I can't. I just can't give up now. Come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me the road would be easy, and I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. I just can't give up now. Come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me the road would be easy, and I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. I just can't give up now. Come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me the road would be easy, and I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. I just can't give up now. Come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me the road would be easy, and I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. And I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me.
Amen, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Keisha. I don't believe God has brought us this far to leave us right now. He has not forsaken us. He has not left us. I know sometimes things can look hard, but God is still in control. Amen? Amen. It is my absolute pleasure to introduce the speaker for today. And the speaker for today is Dr. Ivan Milanov, and he is the head of department for the theological studies at Newbold College. He's actually a personal lecturer of mine for a few of my master's modules, and it's just an absolute privilege to have him here today. And I'm praying that you will be blessed by the words that the Holy Spirit has put on his heart, and I will let him tell you more about himself. Dr. Ivan.
Good morning, people of God. Thank you for the invitation to be with you today. It's a great pleasure. It's a privilege as well. It's a great honor to serve you. As Nicole mentioned, I'm one of the lecturers at the theological departments at Newbold College. I'm specialist in the Old Testament studies. I did my doctorate in the book of Daniel. So I know a few things about the book of Daniel as well. So if there is a opportunity, probably I would visit your church and share a couple of topics on Daniel definitely with you. I come originally from a tiny country in Southeast Europe called Macedonia. It's a 2 million country. We used to be part of former Yugoslavia. I'm 47. I'm married. My wife and I, we have one daughter. She's 9. I graduated from Belgrade Theological Seminary with my BA in theology in the year 2000. I worked for 3 years as pastor in my own country. Then in 2003, I came to Newbold. I completed my MA and my PhD at Newbold College, both in Old Testaments. Then in 2011, I went back, but this time to my wife's country, which is Serbia, in her home city, the city of Belgrade. And I spent 5 years there working as a pastor in the main church, which is the largest Adventist congregation in the Balkans. And I used to teach at the theological seminary over there. So after 5 years, there was an opening at Newbold College. My doctoral supervisor, Dr. Lawrence Turner, he got retired, and I applied for the job, and praise the Lord, I got the job. And that's how I ended up at Newbold College. So I'm both Dr. Milanov, and I'm as well Pastor Milanov. So I am Dr. Milanov Monday to Friday, but every day I am Pastor Milanov. So it's good to be with you. I would like to mention a few things about Newbold College at the moment, what's going on, and what is in our immediate future in front of us. At the moment, all BTS staff except me is on furlough. So all my colleagues are on furlough until the 25th of June, which means I'm the only one in the corridor, literally, and functionally in a role as well. And I respond to every single email that comes at the moment these days. Newbold College will teach next semester exclusively online due to COVID-19 limitations and guidance from the government. Newbold College is renowned for the on-campus experience. And what students like the most about Newport College is to come and spend some time, not just studying, but also living on the campus and experience the life of the campus. Unfortunately, during COVID-19, we are not able to offer that experience to our students in the next semester. So next semester we'll teach exclusively online. However, that's a good opportunity for some of you to join us at some of the classes. We call that auditing. So you can contact me or the marketing department, and you can arrange that you can be in a couple of our classes as well, just to experience from the first hand what it means to be a student at Newport College. So you don't have to trust anymore to what Nicole has to say about us, but also you can experience that for yourself. So remember this, I'm later going to share my email address with all of you. So please write me back if you're interested to audit some of our classes. Also, if you have this call from God to ministry, please join us. We are your college. We are the place where you can get a good education, actually excellent education, that can prepare you effectively for ministry. So you've got the experience of Nicole. If you are dedicated and hardworking as Nicole is, please do come. So we need more people like Nicole at Newport College. We need more students like that. So she is an excellent example. See, she is an excellent lead to some of you. And she can only testify that with God, nothing is impossible. She's a full-time mom, she's a full-time employee, and she's a full-time student. And she's an excellent student. So if you would like to know a bit more of her experience, talk to her. But if you would like to experience Newport College, just come to us as well. So please, if you have a call from God, join us at Newport College. We have program for everyone. If you don't have BA level education, we can offer you BA level education. If you have a previous degree like Nicole has, you can join us via Grad Dip program, which is 1 year program full time for people to bridge between that discipline and theology, and then you can proceed towards MA in theology. Without MA in theology, the church is not going to employ you as a pastor. So you need this. And Newport College can provide that for you. But even if you don't have this urge or call to come and study at Newport, please just join us for a couple of classes from September onwards, and we would be delighted to have you there. Just write back to me, and we'll arrange that. Okay, thank you very much for nicely reading the scripture reading for today, which comes from John 14:27. And the topic is facing the music or the peace of Christ. Jesus was a Jew, and by many places in the New Testament, or at least a couple of places in the New Testament, we can conclude that he spoke Aramaic, a version of Aramaic. Hebrew at the time of Jesus was the language of the synagogue, the language of the temple, the language of worship services. But the everyday language they spoke was Aramaic. So Jesus did not speak in Greek to his disciples, but he spoke in Aramaic. And when he mentioned this, peace I leave with you, he used the Aramaic version of the word shalom. The word shalom in Hebrew means peace, well-being, prosperity, good health, happiness. However, in order to narrow down the meaning of the word peace in this text, I would like to point out that the statement, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you," in verse 27, is opposite of the phrase or another imperative, another command: do not let your hearts be troubled and do not let them be afraid. Therefore, the word peace in this very narrow context means something that is opposite of fear and anxiety. So peace mentioned here is something opposite of fear and anxiety. The word shalom, or peace, or in Greek, irene, in the Gospel of John, as Jesus' signature greeting word, is very important where you can locate it in the Gospel of John. For example, this, in the most decisive moments of his ministry, Jesus actually used this word, peace. When he showed himself to the disciples in the upper room, he told them, "Peace be with you." Just a second, please. So Jesus regarded this word, peace, as something very important. Actually, John 14 is only part of Jesus' speeches, or longer speech, that Jesus gives immediately before he was arrested in Gethsemane and subsequently tried in front of Sanhedrin. Then he was brought in front of Pilate and Herod as well. And he was killed on the cross. And finally, he resurrected. So in these very dramatic moments, very important moments with his disciples, basically in these chapters, Jesus is giving them his legacy. They receive their spiritual heritage. And in this moment, Jesus is sharing with them the most important aspects of his ministry, and in particular, who Jesus was to his disciples. So it is an imperative to understand this word peace, not just in the context of verse 27, but also in the context of John 14. So the main goal of today's reflection is to understand the meaning of his promise in the historical context of the Roman Empire and the earthly life of Jesus, on one hand, and also in the context of Jesus' speech in John 14. In the context of Roman Empire, Jesus was born, he lived, and he was killed on the cross, and he resurrected, and he ascended to the heaven during the period of history known as Pax Romana. Pax Romana is a Latin phrase which is translated in English as Roman peace. This period of history lasted from 27th year before Christ, BC, to at least 180 AD. So almost 200 years this Pax Romana period lasted. The very designation of this name came from the writer Seneca the Younger in 54 AD. And usually this period is regarded by historians as the period of prosperity and development of the Roman Empire. However, this period of human history was hardly a time without wars and military struggle. at least three wars against the Jews happened during this Pax Romana. The first war was the Judean War from 66 to 70 AD on the soil of Judea. And the pinnacle of this war is the total destruction of the city of Jerusalem and its temple. The second war was the Kittian War between 115 and 117. This war didn't take place on the territory of Judea, but a large number of Jews struggled and lost their lives. And the final war during this Pax Romana period was Roman war against the rebels of Bar Kokhba. Bar Kokhba was a Jewish rebel and the leader of the Jewish rebellion in the first half of the second century AD. Differently to Jesus of Nazareth, the rabbis and people accepted the fact that accepted the claim of Bar Kokhba that he was actually the Messiah. And Bar Kokhba is not his name, but actually is his title, because Bar Kokhba literally means, from Aramaic translated, as the son of the star, referring to Book of Numbers 24, when the prophet Balaam called Messiah the star that would come from the tribe of Israel. So Bar Kokhba actually proclaimed himself as the Messiah, and people of his time accepted that, even some of the leading rabbis of that time. However, his rebellion ended in 132 with his death and cruel stop of this rebellion. And the Emperor Hadrian, in order to humiliate the Judeans at that time, he gave to their lands a new name, and the name was Palestine, in honor of their great enemies, the Philistines. So the Palestine referred, according to Hadrian, was the land of Philistines. So that was the way how the Romans wanted to humiliate the Jews. So this period was hardly a period of absolute peace, but still this was a period of prosperity for the ruling establishment, economic prosperity, and largely absence of greater conflicts. So Jesus lived during this time, nominally called Pax Romana, Roman peace, but still there was some kind of struggle and wars, local wars, during this period. Similarly, when you look at Jesus's life, you'll find out that Jesus was not a stranger to temptations, troubles, and suffering. However, Jesus never lost his inner peace and inner sense of serenity. So regardless of the circumstances he lived in, regardless of the troubles and struggles he faced, Jesus kept his peace and serenity, which leads us to a conclusion that Jesus' peace was not an absence of struggle and troubles, but Jesus' peace was a means to face such adverse phenomena and overcome them. So Jesus' peace is not an absence of struggle and troubles. It's not an absence of temptations. Jesus knew that much better than me and you. However, Jesus' peace was a means to face these adverse phenomena and to overcome them. Jesus also promised his peace in the time of the greatest troubles for him personally. He was about to be betrayed by one of his disciples. The other disciples would leave him, and even one of them, the most brave-looking one, would renounce Jesus. Not once, not twice, but three times. Therefore, Jesus was aware of the importance of his very promise. I am giving you my peace. Not like this world is going to give you. Jesus basically said, I'm not going to give you Pax Romana. I'm not going to give you peace that is only good for the ruling establishment. But I'm going to give you peace that is mine. Peace that it means how to face life and how to overcome the struggles and troubles in life. Verse 27 actually consists the statements, do not let your hearts be troubled. It is interesting that these words are echo of the phrase or commands that is found in verse 1 in chapter 14. In John chapter 14, the text says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. So, do not let your hearts be troubled in verse 27, and do not let your hearts be troubled in verse 1. They create kind of brackets. The technical term is called inclusio, or brackets. So, what is Jesus's peace is actually a task for us to find what is in these brackets. Because this bracket can help us to understand what is Jesus's peace and what Jesus's peace is founded on. So these two statements basically make this inclusio and give us these milestones of what is in between that we can understand what is Jesus's peace. Actually, Jesus's peace, according to these brackets, is founded on several promises of Jesus Christ. And those promises are fundamental for our life as Christians. The first in line of these prophecies, of these promises, is the promise of all promises in my mind. Could someone please read verses 2 and 3 from chapter 14? So John 14, verses 2 and 3. The first, please read this promise of Jesus Christ.
In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also.
The promise of the promises. Jesus is coming again. This is not the end of the disciples' fellowship relationship with Christ, because he promised them that he would come again. And this is the best solution for every problem the humanity is facing with. Sin, illness, poverty, wars, hunger, discrimination, death. Jesus' second coming is the best solution to this. And when usually I give Bible studies to people, and or when they ask me, why do you believe that Jesus is coming again? I usually tell them, because he promised you. because he promised to his disciples and to me that he is coming back. He is returning. And whatever he promised in his life, he fulfilled that. And all these unfulfilled promises are actually for present and future times. And because Jesus was faithful in the past, he is faithful in the present and he is faithful for the future. And Jesus' second coming, this is our hope of hopes. This is the best solution for every single issue and all the corporate huge issues we face them as humanity. Look at this COVID-19 situation. Usually people rely more on science than on religion. Generally, I'm speaking. But look at the science at the moment. There is a cacophony in the science as well. They don't have definite answers about COVID-19. And some of the answers the science is providing to us, there some of them are just intellectual guess. They don't know much about the second wave. They don't know much about the vaccine at the moment. They just give us projections. Don't get me wrong. I think that the science is given by God. And all these things that can help to improve our lives. I think that God guided scientists to provide some cures for human diseases. Today we live much better life because of the science. But let's face it, science is not omnipotent. Science is not omniscient. And the scientists are only humans. They're not omniscient, they're not omnipotent. They're just humans. And they cannot provide us with a thorough solution for our issues, for human sin, for all human illnesses, for poverty, discriminations, wars, hunger, death. The second coming of Jesus Christ is the best solution. And this is my hope. This is the bottom line of my life. When everything goes against me, when I'm in deep trouble with many things, this hope gives me motivation to start over and go again. There is another promise as well. And I have this peace of Christ, regardless of the circumstances, because there is another promise of God. And this promise is found in verses 8, 9, and 10. John 14, 8 to 10. Is there anyone who can read that, this for us? John 14, 8 to 10. The first one, please.
Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us.
9 and 10, please.
Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen the Father,
and how says then,
show us the Father?
Verse 10.
Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works.
Thank you very much. Jesus is the best revelation of God. Jesus is God himself. He is the best revelation of who God is as a character and how God treats people. When people ask me, could you please tell us what is the character of God, how he treats people, I usually tell them, go to the Gospels and see who God is in Jesus's character, in his behavior, in his words, in his promises, in his teachings, and in the way how he treats people. So if someone wants to know who God is, please look at Jesus. His faithfulness to God, his words, everything that he has done, his behavior, his powers, his treatment of other people, his altruism, his self-sacrifice actually describes who God is. And this is the best, this is the superior revelation of God's character. So this is another pillar. What does it mean? The peace of Christ. That Christ is the best revelation of God. This is why I accept Jesus's promises. This is why I believed him. And I still believe in him. I still believe in him because he's God incarnate and he's faithful. He has fulfilled his promises in the past and he will fulfill his promises in the future. And what a great privilege is to live and worship God, whom we can know quite closely through Jesus Christ. There is another promise which makes Jesus' peace working in us. And that promise is found in verses 12 to 14. John 14, verses 12 to 14. Please read this for us. The first one, please read this for us. All these three verses.
Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask him anything in my name, I will do it.
Thank you very much. Two things. Jesus says, if you believe in me, you will do my works and even greater than these works. And secondly, he says, if you in my name ask me or my Father for anything, I will do it. This is huge. Actually, Jesus is telling us that if we trust him, we can do the same works even greater than his. Basically, Jesus says that we can acquire his character and his deeds if we trust him, if we believe him, if we rely on him. And also, very importantly, he says, if you pray, if you ask me in my name, I will do it. Now we are interested in this. What is this name? What's that concept of name in the Bible? In the Bible, name can mean a presence. In the Old Testament, very often the name of God is used as the very presence of God. Name can be also used in order to describe someone's reputation. Someone has a good name, and in the Bible, good name means reputation. But very importantly, in the Bible, name also means someone's character. Name means someone who is. Someone has a reputation because of their character. Someone has a presence somewhere because he or she is that person with that name, with that character. So name in the Bible is much more than combination of several letters. Name means character. And prayers will be fulfilled if they are in the accordance with Jesus' character. Prayers will be fulfilled if they are posed in the accordance of Jesus' character. What a great privilege is this, to pray to God. And I can't overestimate the importance of prayer. Because in my experience, the prayer is something fundamental. I am not an Adventist, or I haven't been an Adventist since my birth. Actually, I was born and grew up in a family where my parents were nominally Christians, Orthodox Christians. We never went to the church for worship services except for weddings. My father was an army officer in communist country. He was a communist party member. So by definition, he was supposed to be an atheist. So even for rare weddings in the church, my mom and my brother, we would go to the church, but he would wait outside because he didn't want to compromise his career. We never read the Bible. I saw the Bible when I was 18 for the first time. In my life, I saw the Bible for the first time when I was 18. When I was 18, I couldn't make a difference between Moses and Messiah. For me, that was the same. So I didn't know much about God. And my childhood friends, he came from an Adventist family, but we didn't know that during our childhood years. Later on, he told me that, and he told me I'm going back to the church of my parents. And he explained to me how to pray. Before he mentioned anything about any teachings of the Bible, he taught me how to pray. And I remember it was 1990, it was June, so this period of the year. In my country, the academic year, the school year, is finished by the 10th of June. So after that, I was in high school. And after 10th of June, it's a freedom for high school students. And very often at that time, as a non-Adventist, I went clubbing. And because it was summer, I came from the club somewhere around 4 o'clock in the morning. I took shower and I went to bed approximately 4:45, 5 o'clock in the morning. And that day when I was asleep, I had a nightmare. I very rarely have nightmares, but that day I had a nightmare. And previously my friend taught me, if you experience a nightmare, pray to God and he would help you. And this was my first time in life when I was praying. I was praying during my nightmare, in my dream, in my sleep. And I prayed and God helped me. So when I woke up, it was a mixed feeling of fear and happiness. Fear, because the nightmare was very graphic, but happiness because God, the real God, listen to my prayer. And since that time, I started praying. And I've been praying since that time. And that was almost a year before I became formally Christian and Adventist. So before I read the Bible, I experienced God. And God became a real God. And the experience, the fruit of these prayers was so real to me, no one in my life could convince me that God was not real. And I started praying since then, and I've never ceased praying. So prayer is something very important. And the last promise that I would like to point out today is found in verses 16 to 21, 16 to 21, where Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit. Jesus is talking about the Comforter, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit. On Jesus' request, the Father will send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who will teach, guide, and work with the disciples and in the disciples. The inner work of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will make the disciples fulfill God's will God's plans. Without the Holy Spirit, without this promise, we are powerless. Without the Holy Spirit, we can't know God. We can't understand the Bible. We will have no motivation to pray. And the Holy Spirit had started working on us even before we formally realized that someone outside of us, God, is working on our hearts. The Holy Spirit starts working in human lives even before they are aware that He is working on them and in them. So the work of the Holy Spirit is of essential importance in order to have the Jesus' peace in our lives. It's very important to have this work recognized and cherished in our lives, because we are not alone. With Jesus' resurrection and His ascension to heaven, His disciples, including today's disciples, we are not alone. He is our guide, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. He is our teacher, and He works hard on us and in us. And because of the Holy Spirit, we can have this peace of Jesus Christ. So let me conclude. God has proved Himself by fulfilling His promises in the past. And now there are promises that will be fulfilled by God in the future. That's why I have this peace of Jesus Christ in me. That's why I can face the life. I can face the music. Secondly, peace of Christ means relying on God's promises. Where God's promises are something real, they're part of our lives, they're part of our inner feelings, they're parts of our core character, they're part of our core worldview. Actually, relying on God's promises is what we are and who we are. Also, the constant work of the Holy Spirit with us and in us makes that the relationship with Jesus Christ is alive and ongoing. The peace of Christ, therefore, is not an escape from reality, but actually it's a means to face the reality and to overcome whatever reality brings. So my brothers and sisters, do not fear life. Do not fear struggles and troubles. And do not lose the peace of Christ, because God is alive. His promises are valid. His promises are still on. And the examples of His faithfulness in the past is actually an argument, foundation to believe in Him for the future. That's why the peace of Christ, that's why anxiety is not something that should overwhelm us, but the peace of Christ should overwhelm us. Do not be afraid when you face troubles, strugglings, temptations, but have these promises on mind, and have on mind that God is always and will always be with us. And may the peace of Christ be with us always, regardless of the circumstances. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Ivan, reminding us today to do not fear, because God's peace is a means for us to face reality and to overcome. I will close in hymn for today before Pastor Ivan prays for us, is hymn number 309, All to Jesus We Will Surrender.
Surrender all to Him. trust him in his presence daily.
Over to you.
Shall we pray, please? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, the greatest gift ever given to us. In particular, we thank you for this promise of your peace. Because this is a peace that overcomes every human mind. We are very grateful that we are not left alone in this cold and for us humans unpredictable world. We thank you that in this situation of confusion, cacophony of different opinions, we know whom we believe. We thank you for your promises. And please give us the guidance and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit how to face everyday life. Help us to trust you and to believe you with all our hearts. Help us to accept your promises and make them part of our character, of our life. Please help us to rely more on you than on ourselves. Please protect us from a temptation that we are the wisest and the cleverest people in the world. Please protect us from our own vanity. Protect us from our own weaknesses. But give us the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit to do your works to do your will, to fulfill your plans. I'm praying for this local church, for their pastor, for the elders, for every single church member. Please bless them with good health. Protect them from every evil. Give them strength. Give them your help, how to serve you in the best possible way. Help them through their daily struggles and help them to be overcomers, to be winners in you. Bless us as your people and give us the power of the Holy Spirit to fulfill your plans for our time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Ivan. I really appreciate that you've taken the time to come and speak to us today. It was
a huge privilege. Thank you very much for the invitation.
Thank you so much, Dr. Ivan. Much appreciated. I'm going to stop recording now.